We're doing Gemara Rosh Hashanah. We're up to Tetzayin Amud Aleph, one line from the bottom. The Gemara continues and says, "Ve'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lama tokin?" Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Why is it that we blow in the shofar? Lama tokin b'Rosh Hashanah? Why do we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah?" That's a funny question. The Gemara says, "Lama tokin? What do you mean, why do you blow shofar? Rachman amar tekau. God said blow shofar. What are you asking? What are you blowing for? What kind of question is that? Ela lama meri'in." No, my question was, why do we blow blasts? Trua. The blasts. Not the long blow. Meri'in. Rachman amar. Zichron trua. What do you mean? The Torah says, I want a commemoration of short blasts, of trua. So what are you asking me? Ela, okay, no, that wasn't the question. Lama tok'inu mirin shen yoshvin? Why do we blow a tkiya, a long blow, and short blasts while we're seated? V'tok'inu mirin shen omdin? And we blow again when we're standing, meaning we have one tkiya shofar that's when we haven't yet started our Shemona Esrei, we're not yet standing in Shemona Esrei. And we have another series of blowing shofar when we're standing in the middle of our Shemona Esrei. The way the Sfaradim do it, and the way Nesuch Sfarad does it, says the Gemara, or Ashkenaz will interpret this Gemara, that it means that we do it when we're standing in Chazar Sashatz, the way we do it. We have the Tkiya before Shemona Esrei and the Tkiya while the Chazan is doing it. Answers the Gemara, Kedei la'obeva satan. In order to confuse the Satan. Okay, so what does that mean? I don't know. I never knew. All the years I heard it. How does the Satan get confused? I don't know. Wouldn't but then again, I don't know what.
Wouldn't he learn over the years not to get confused?
Right,
by?
Right. It's a good question. I don't know. Tosus brings us from the Aruch that the Jerusalem Talmud says that when that final day of reckoning will come, so Hashem will blow a shofar. So when Sutton hears us blow the first time, he figures, they're just doing the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. But then we surprise him, we do another time that's doesn't say to do that on Rosh Hashanah. So that we do this, he gets all scared. He says, must be it's time for my final day of reckoning, and he runs away. So he gets all confused, and he can't take us to task. And then Shemayim, we have a better judgment because he's all confused. How does that work? Who knows? So what does that mean? The Torah says blow shofar. So we blow shofar. And then we do it again to confuse the Satan. Says Tosfos. Tema. You see Tosfos on top of the page? Hakavah mishum bal tosif. We have a biblical prohibition of adding to mitzvahs. How do you do that? How do you add to the mitzvah? V'chitema dekevan dekvar yetza. Havelei shelo bizmano delo avar. You might tell me, well, once I'm Yotzei, I finished my mitzvah, I can blow shofar as much as I want. That's not a transgression of Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif is when you intend to add to the mitzvah and the mitzvah itself.
But don't we hold that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of the shofar until the second blast?
No, we hold you. Once you heard it, you finished. Hamrinan besof Rohubetin. We're going to see the Gemara says later on at the end of the chapter Rohubetin. Gabe birkat kohanim den mosif bracha achat mishelo. The Talmud says a kohen who's doing birchas kohanim can't add another blessing of his own. You guys should all be blessed with money and wealth and health and happiness. Once he's up there, he's going to add his own. Can't do that. The Gemara says the law of zimne kevan deilu mitramelei tzibur achrin ahadom mevarchlu. The Gemara says, being that technically, if there would be a new congregation in shul, the coin would have another opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, it's not like you finished the mitzvah for today. You shake a little of an you finish. That's it. No more mitzvah today. But Birchas Kohanim, you have a new congregation, you have a new mitzvah to bless them. So that means the mitzvah isn't really over. So if he stands up there and he starts giving his own blessing, that's Baal Tosif. He's adding to the Torah's mitzvah.
Could he walk around to other shuls and do that or not?
Yeah, he could. Yeah. So use the same logic here. Let's say a new congregation would walk into shul, you could blow shofar for them. So by the same token, how could you keep blowing? You say it's to confuse the Satan. How could you do that? If biblically you finished, so how could you keep going? ויש לומר, דין שייך בעל תוסיף בעשיית מצווה אחת בית פעמים. תוסיף says a big חידיש. You do one mitzvah twice, that's not בעל תוסיף. You wear tefillin and you decide you want to wear it longer or another time, that's not בעל תוסיף. You wear tzitzis twice, you shake a lulav twice, that's not בעל תוסיף. You didn't do mitzvah the second time you shook a lulav and esrog, right? But it's not בעל תוסיף. You want to read Shema twice. You finished your biblical mitzvah, you read Shema. You want to read it again? Okay, go ahead. Kigon koheni mevrech vechuzer umvrech oto tzibur atzmo. Let's say a kohen would bless the same congregation twice. So the second time he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of birchas kohanim. But if he's adhering to the mitzvah of the Torah, he's just saying those psukim. Yivrech Hashem yishmech yar Hashem. Okay.
He can't say. Can he say the bracha again?
No.
The bracha would tell him.
That's a problem. So he won't make the bracha. But by doing the biblical mitzvah twice, you're not doing well tosis. Tosif. Big tosis here. Tosis tells us a big rule here. O notel ulav v'chozer v'notel. If a person shakes lulav twice, he's not doing well tosif. V'chen tokev v'chozer v'tokev. And same thing, if a person blows a shofar many times during the day, that's not well tosif. V'gabei matnot b'cho namim natan b'ker nachat bet pa'amim en ze bal tosif. And the same thing, you're supposed to take from the sacrifice of the Bechor and give offerings on the altar. If you give offerings twice in the same place, that's not Baal Tosif. The second time is unnecessary, but it's not Baal Tosif. That's the big chiddush of Tosis, that doing the same mitzvah twice does not constitute Baal Tosif, and this is a very important Tosis. Back to our Gemara. We have another quote from Rabbi Yitzchak about shofar. Kol shana shen tokin la b'tchilata, any year that you don't blow shofar in the beginning of the year, meri'in la b'sofa. Rabbi Yitzchak warns us there'll be weeping at the end of that year. My time at the loyal of Satan. Why? Because you didn't have that head start on the Satan. Rosh Hashanah came and the Satan had a mouthful to say and we couldn't keep him quiet. When we blow shofar, it confuses him. We get a better year. When we don't blow shofar, okay, then he's going to say whatever he had to say. So that's very depressing, because when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we don't blow shofar. So Tosus quotes us about Alochos Gedolos that Rav Yehudai Gaon says, yeah, but if you didn't blow shofar because of Shabbos, that doesn't count.
Shabbos
I don't know. I've been following this for the last few years. If I'm not mistaken, the year that the Jews were kicked out of Gush Katif, we didn't blow shofar from the beginning of that year. It was on Shabbos. I've noticed some very interesting things happening to Klal Yisrael. Go figure, I don't know. But it's an interesting thing. So Baal Halachos Gedolos was much bigger than I am. I don't even enter the league, right? Baal Halachos Gedolos, you're talking about one of the Gaonim, one of the greatest rabbis that ever lived. He said, it's not a problem. Okay, so it's not a problem. Anyways, there's nothing you can do about it, right? At first glance, there isn't anything you could do. Chazal said, no, we can't blow shofar. V'amar v'yitzchak kol shana sherasha b'tchilata mitasheret b'sofa. Rav Yitzchak says, if you have a year that in the beginning, people are impoverished, meaning they enter Rosh Hashanah and the economy is bad and there's no rain and people are davening like crazy. So then suddenly you see, like last year, 5% growth in the economy here in Israel. Everyone was worried. What's going to be? If the year is impoverished in the beginning, so ultimately you'll see it'll be a wealthy year. Shneimal, the pasuk says, "Mereshit Hashana." From the reshit, the word reshit can mean the beginning. Reshit could also mean like the word rash, the impoverished beginning of the year. So then, k'tiv ad achit, sofa she'el achit. Achit could mean to the end of the year. Achit could also mean it'll have a continuum. It'll have an essence. So a year that's mereshit, that's impoverished in the beginning, will have an achrit, will have an essence ultimately. Tamar b'Yitzchak and danin t'adam el alefim asav shel otah sha'ah. Rav Yitzchak comes and gives us another halacha about Rosh Hashanah. A person does not get judged about his future. Meaning, even if a person is going to be very wicked in the future, if right now he's still okay, so then he only gets judged based on what he is at that moment. Shenemar, as the verse says, Ki shama Elokim el kol hanaar ba'asher hu sham. The angel appears before Hagar. She's been chased out of Abraham's home. because Sarah already senses that something is amok, something is running off course here, and that little Yishmael over there, he's gonna misguide her son Yitzchak. There's a problem here. Avram doesn't see the problem. Sarah sees the problem. Sarah tells Avram, get her out, get the kid out. They can't stay here. This is the future of Am Yisrael. Yitzchak has to be your continuum. You can't leave him here. Avram is very upset. He doesn't want to do it. He's not worried about Hagar. He's worried about his son. What's going on here? Shem says, listen to Sarah. So here you see a fantastic point. Shem says, listen to Sarah, and so Avram sends her off. Avram sends her off, and the child has a fever. They end up in the desert, and they put down the child in the desert, and Hagar is weeping. So Hagar is sitting at the side weeping. She puts him under a bush, and she's weeping. She says, I don't want to see him die in front of my eyes. And an angel appears. And the angel tells her, God looked at him the way he is there, and God decided he doesn't deserve to die. So there's water down yonder. Go over there. You'll get water. You'll feed the kid. Sarah sees a problem, but God doesn't see the problem, so to speak. God backs Sarah and says, get him out. Listen to Sarah. But when God has to judge Yishmael, he's still righteous enough. He deserves an angel to come down and tell Hagar where there's water to give that baby. Rashi quotes a famous midrash that in heaven, the angels were making a ruckus. They said, when the temple's going to be destroyed, your children are going to be traveling out of Israel, and they're going to ask their captors, take us by our cousins, the Arabs, the Ishmaelim. And the Arabs are going to come out, and they're going to have flasks painted as though they're filled with water. And they're going to offer the Jews some salty food. And they'll say, here, don't worry, we got you guys drinks. And the flasks are really filled with old, stale, harmful air. And the Jews are going to eat the salty foods first, and then they'll be dying for a drink, and they'll give them the flask, and they'll take a sip. And that old stale air, after the Jews have been so hungry and eaten those salty food, is going to cause Jews to die of thirst. Jews are going to be dying of thirst because of his descendants. So the angels in heaven said, how could you make a miracle, send an angel down there and show her where there's water? What's going to be with that water you give him? His descendants will afflict your kids. What does God say? I evaluate him based on where he is there. And where he is there, he deserves the water. There's a future. I don't judge him based on the future. I judge him based on the present, based on the moment. Right now, he doesn't deserve to die. So Sarah sees the problems in Yishmael for the Jewish home. God backs Sarah and says to Avram, listen to her, she's right, you can't have him in your home. But at the end of the day, right now, he's not so problematic. It's a problem for the Jewish home, but it's not a problem to the extent where he deserves to die.
So then wouldn't that be a proof for Rav Yossi saying that we're judged at every, or not Rav Nachman?
I hear.
At every moment?
Okay, maybe. Maybe spectacular people like Hagar, everyone agrees are exceptional. When God talks to Avram, maybe everyone agrees it's exceptional. Okay, I'll tell you a vort I said that we have to apply what you said to what I said. Okay? The Gemara says earlier, "B'rosh Hashanah nifkedu Sarah, Rachel, v'Chana." Gemara says it was on Rosh Hashanah that Hashem took an accounting of Sarah, Rachel, and Chana, and said it's time for them to get pregnant. So when we learned that Gemara, I suggested that maybe this is teaching us a phenomenal weight to Rosh Hashanah. Even Sarah and Avram Avinu, they've been davening for maybe a century already. Almost a century, right? They've been davening for a child. The greater part of a century. We don't know exactly how long they've been married, but for the greater part of the century, they've been praying for a child. They're big tzaddikim, and God's promised them a child, and he wants to give them a child, but it only changes on Rosh Hashanah. It tells us something about Rosh Hashanah. Along comes Mr. Binstack and says, yeah, but when Yishmael's about to die, then God enters the picture on the moment. So what are we going to answer, Mr. Binstock? What did Tosa say last week? Tosa said, according to the other opinions, how do we daven Rifeinu? Tosa said, everyone agrees that there is not a predetermined end point. Remember?
For sickness?
Right. Tosa said, even if you say a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah, then what he's judged is when the illness will begin, not when it will end. And that's why we can still daven Rifeinu according to every opinion. So,
is this considered a sickness that Ishmael has?
I don't know. I don't know. To me, this doesn't seem like a sickness, but fine. He was ill, but that wasn't the issue here. He was going to die of thirst. So the Gemara says again, Rav Yitzchak says, a person is only judged according to that hour. Shneimar, the verse says, Kishema Elokim el kol hanar ba'asher hu sham. God says, I've listened to him as he is there at that moment. He is judged based on the moment. To be continued, Bezrat Hashem.